On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to an all-new Tall Can Sports podcast. As always, you can give us a follow on Twitter at Tall Can Audio, facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. We've just recently fired up an Instagram page, so if you're interested in that kind of thing, we're over there now, too. Spotify, iTunes, all that stuff. Search Tall Can Audio. You'll find us. Maddie Lang is back with us, spending more time in the co-host chair than maybe he is at work these days. How's it going, man?
Good. Well, I was really sad at first to know that I was bumped out of the number one guest spot, but pretty happy to be bumped up to the number one co-host spot. So
doesn't come with any kind of pay raise.
Yeah. There was pay?
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to hit you with this to start just because I just saw it just before we turned the mic on. The Houston Texans, who I don't think I've ever brought up on this podcast before.
This would be a first.
Yeah, have just become the fourth team in NFL history to ever win six in a row after starting 0-3. Are the Houston Texans for real?
You know what one of the craziest stats is? It's like teams that go 0-2, I can't remember how reliable the stat is, and maybe in the last 2 years, but previously, I think there had only been maybe one team or two teams who even made the playoffs at 0-2 in the NFL.
Man, you better get off to a good start, eh?
Yeah, which is remarkable to think that in any sport, even if there's only 16 games, if you lose two,
you're buried.
You're out.
Right? Fucked.
I mean, that kind of sucks if you're a fan base.
Yeah, for sure.
The NFL and, you know, we talk about, you and I talk NFL and CFL quite frequently. Me being more of an NFL guy and US CFL guy.
Sure.
The NFL is in a very weird spot this year where there's a very distinct, elite levels.
The upper echelon, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, there's teams that should maybe be relegated to the CFL next year.
Oh, easy, easy.
Not to get one dig in, right?
Yeah, you're going to get bumped back down to guest here shortly.
Hey, listen, I saw Bo Mitchell play last year.
Yeah.
He's pretty much the CFL's version of Peyton Manning, right? Great in the regular season. Not so hot.
Looks like, man, and even right now the Stampeders are choking coming down the stretch again, so could be that way. But yeah,
I guess if he loses this year, they're basically just the Buffalo Bills of Canada, right?
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Is that too much? Is that too much?
No, that's about right. I liked that one. That's okay.
who are we talking about?
Well, so do you think the Texans are in that upper echelon, or are they just kind of, you know, favorable schedule and kind of middle of the pack here?
The Texans are in one of the worst divisions in football,
yeah.
North or south of the border.
Yeah,
that's okay. How it goes. The Jacksonville Jaguars, much heralded defense last year, still okay, but Blake Bortles should not be starting in any football league, including the XFL next year. I know you used to be a big fan of the Colts, or at least a fan of Peyton Manning at the time.
Yep.
The Colts are garbage.
Yeah.
And the Tennessee Titans, who are playing Monday Night Football as we speak, have fumbled twice. So we're in the first quarter.
Oh, boy.
That being said, the Texans, you know, are a good team. Mm-hmm. They're not a great team. I don't expect them to make absolutely any noise. I just had to fire up the laptop just to check. They're going to be probably the weakest division leader in the NFL this year, so at least in the AFC.
This will be a little like that old setup the NHL had where the Carolina Hurricanes kept winning their dog shit division and getting a third seed because of it.
Yeah, pretty much what's going to happen is the Chargers are going to roll into Houston in the first round of the playoffs and just annihilate them. Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's going to be a cool stat, and it's always going to – I think it's going to be one of these things that we always go, oh, man, remember that 0-3 team who got to the playoffs?
Right.
But unless something significant happens, and it's the NFL, right?
Yep.
Crazy things happen. Guys, you know, break their foot in the last week of the season. Other guys get caught with hookers by the cops the night before the game.
Whoops.
All these things happen, right?
Yeah.
So you never count a team out, especially going into the playoffs. But don't put your grandmother's $20 she leaves you in the Christmas card this year on that bet. Come
on. All right. Well, it turns out, man, my NBA fantasy drafting is being much heralded around Twitter as well. So maybe I'm on to something and you should be listening to me. But why don't we talk? I got a little more NFL talk I want to get to here in a little bit. We're also going to talk a little bit of Blue Jays, a little bit of Raptors. But
sorry, just to stop you, I think the Texans just turned the ball over again.
Oh, dear.
I just turned around and I might have missed it. Oh, and there's another fumble. So there we go.
Oh, dear. Okay. I wondered, did you happen to hear the news out of Argoland today? I know you're based down in Toronto, or this weekend. Sorry, not today.
And you know what? And I didn't. And part of that was because, as you know, I was away in Montreal all weekend. So the sports coverage I was getting on TV was not in my native language.
You didn't run into Johnny Manziel in any of your late nights out, did you? Or?
I was looking.
Yeah. The Argos fired Mark Trestman the morning after the season wrapped up. The Argos finished a 4-win season after losing to the Red Blacks. You know what? I was a little surprised. Jim Popp is a guy who's well-known, good, you know, very experienced guy across the CFL. And when he took over the Argos, one of the first things he did was bring in Trestman back from the NFL, who he had a great relationship with from his days in Montreal. And Trestman kind of became, you know, the marquee coach in the Canadian Football League for a while. And eventually, as we were in the house for last year, marched his team to a Grey Cup. Now, they had a bad year. They had their starting quarterback go down. I was a year removed from a championship where your quarterback missed most of the season. Man, that's a harsh firing from where I'm sitting.
I kind of think so too, right? And I think there's two parts to this. One, you can't have your most marketable player in the city, whether Ricky Ray is still the best player on the team or not, he's still the most marketable guy.
Yep.
Go down, and let's be honest, his career is probably over after that injury.
I would imagine,
sustained, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And a tough way for a guy who's been around the league for years to go out. There's nothing worse in any football league when your quarterback goes out.
Right.
Because I can tell you the last time it went okay for a team and it still didn't turn out great was when Tom Brady had his ACL torn in game one against the Chiefs about a decade ago, and they still finished 10-6. And they still missed the playoffs at 10-6, which is absolutely insane to think about.
Yeah, exactly.
Just one of those crazy years where they had a bunch of 10-6 teams and they lost on point differential.
Yeah, yeah.
But most teams are not able to come back from that. If you take out Peyton Manning, if you take out Bo Levi, you're just not going to win as many games as you're supposed to. And it's not an easy position, you know, to replace. We're not talking it's almost akin to losing your goalie in hockey, right?
Well, I was just going to say that, except the drop from a starting NHL goalie to the backup seems to be less than from the starting quarterback to the backup, right? Like,
yeah. And more than that, I would say in hockey, there's a lot of leagues. We have a lot of professional leagues in hockey. You can find great goalies, or at least serviceable goalies in hockey, through the world.
Yeah.
There's just not a lot of guys in football who can play at the pro level. who can read the, you know, who can make the reads quick enough, who can understand the game well enough and different playbooks all the time. Finishing 4-14 is not great.
No.
Let's be honest.
No.
But I did watch a couple games this year from the comfy couch, and man, I can't even remember the you'll know the starting quarterback off the top of your head, I'm sure. But he was awful to the point that, I mean, Rob probably could have been the
We did this a couple of weeks ago on the show. The guy who ended up starting for the Argos had three names, and I couldn't – it was a long – and I don't have it, man. It's not coming to me, but – but
your point should not be playing in any league.
No, but your point is well taken, though, right? Because the other thing is, it has to be your backup. If you go out and bring in someone else, even if you can find him or you trade for him, he's not going to learn your playbook in time. Football is so complicated in that regard, right? In terms of the way every team does it a little differently, and they're never going to learn the playbook in time. And it really looks to me, unless there was some sort of disagreement or, you know, bad relationship within the organization, this was a rough one to pin on Mark Trestman. He was going to have a hard time coaching that team to do much this year.
I can give you one position you can probably bring somebody in on a moment's notice, and that's running back.
Right.
Because they've got to follow their blockers.
Yeah.
And most running plays aren't going to be any more complex than another team's running plays the running back spot.
It's like,
even from a wide receiver, the Patriots went in and got Josh Gordon this year when they ran into some injury troubles. Josh Gordon, former first round pick, has had some personal issues in the past. They still took 2 weeks to bring him into the games.
Right.
And we're talking about a guy who's your traditional number one receiver who basically just runs out routes, slants, and goes deep. But he still had to learn the playbook.
Yeah, you're right. The running back, you give him the ball and go that way, right?
Just, pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, follow the big guy in front of you.
Right.
Go that way.
So I just thought it was interesting that
I would agree with you. There must have been something internally.
I think so.
And again, Toronto is a very different market than most CFL cities, if not than every other CFL city, because you need to have a marketable person to put on TV.
Yeah.
There's a lot more competition in the city.
Yep.
There just is. And it's, you know, for the Argos, they compete heavily against the Blue Jays all summer long.
Mm-hmm.
And whether the Blue Jays are great or not, on a bad day, let's say Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, the Jays are still going to draw 20,000 people.
Yep.
Even in a bad season like this past year. At best, the Argos are 11, 12
this year. I think 14 was their high watermark this season. So,
you know, and they're competing against the rugby team in town now, the Wolfpack, and they draw, they had a high mark of 9,000 this year. They played just down the street, typically on Saturdays.
Well, and you're talking about not just other sports teams, right? The city in the summer is hopping with Caravana and all the other things that go down, right? There's all kinds of festivals, Taste of the Danforth, right? Like, there's just, every weekend there's something going on.
There's something to do every day.
You need a superstar.
You do, and that includes having a superstar coach.
Yeah.
Well, when pinball was in town, that was somebody you could put on the news in the morning. That was somebody who would get interviewed by the newspaper that everybody knew, and the newspapers
and
would also put on the front page.
Goodwill. People love pinball too, right? Even when the team was bad. This team has now had 10 head coaches since the year 2000, and only two of them, pinball and Scott Milanovich, have lasted two seasons or more. So there's been a ton of turnover. It's unbelievable. I'm going to keep moving this along because I know you got shit to do. You're off to hockey here, so we're going to move on. You referenced competing with the Blue Jays. They last week announced the hiring of a new manager, Charlie Montoyo, formerly of the Rays organization. He'd put in a ton of time in the minors as a coach there. Apparently was a great communicator and a great developer. He had spent a few years with the Rays in different coaching positions, and then last year as the bench coach. As a player, I believe he had 8 games in the majors, all of them for the Montreal Expos. He's familiar with Canada a little bit.
Illustrious career right there.
Yeah. Now, he'll tell you that he went 2-for-5 in his major league career, so he's a .400 hitter, right? So it's not too bad. I heard him point that out in an interview. I kind of like that. He's able to have a little fun with it. But I got to tell you, man, for me, and maybe this is okay because of what the team is about to go through. This is a guy who knew Vladdy Guerrero Sr. very well. and is now going to work with his son. They're probably banking on that being a good relationship. He's bilingual, which up here typically means something different, where you have to speak French. He speaks Spanish and English, which is great because a lot of the prospects the Blue Jays have coming will be are fluent Spanish. They're Hispanic players, and so that'll be good in terms of communication. But I got to tell you, this looks like the guy that you bring in to get you through those bad years that you fire, mm-hmm. you know, before you become any good. Mm-hmm. What was your thoughts on hiring?
You know, I figured at some point we would chat about this, and I have no idea about this because the only positive I could really pick out was that he's bilingual.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know that had been a thing, especially in the Toronto media, in the last 2 years, about saying how important this was to bring in a guy who could speak to both, you know, the players in baseball generally speak English or Spanish.
Yep.
So you need somebody who could communicate with both these guys. I know from knowing a couple people who have worked with the team intimately that in the past that was actually Jose Bautista, who is the middleman for the team.
Right.
Who a lot of times would I don't know if he was like translating or what he was doing, but at least he was the guy who could bring those two groups together.
That apparently was Kendrys Morales this year. That's one of the reasons they're looking at maybe keeping him around is that now he's maybe taken over some of that role as the veteran Hispanic player.
It's just a very interesting move. And I mean, saying you're a great communicator, I'm not sure what that means for a baseball team. It's not a quick enough moving sport like soccer or hockey or football where you have to consistently make changes on the fly.
Yeah.
It just brings back, you know, did we have to move Gibby? What was the problem with keeping Gibby at this point?
Right.
If we're waiting, if this is just a guy to get us to the next guy, well, what was wrong with Gibby? He was, you know, sadly our second best coach ever, for better or worse. My team's not all that old.
Yeah. No.
I want to point something out.
Go ahead.
Too. So,
Sorry.
You know, have the laptop fired up. So I threw in Blue Jays coach into Google.
Right.
And the first person that comes up is John Gibbons.
Of course.
So even Google doesn't seem to care all that much right now, which is kind of, you know, it's kind of sad. There's a lot to be said about you want a great communicator when you have a young team, maybe. To have them understand the way you want to play it and to be a professional. I do think in baseball, being a professional, as much as I hate every time they say it, it means a little bit more because the season's so long and it drags on. And you need to get somebody to carry you through those up and downs. And you need somebody who's a little more level-headed than some other sports because of the length of the sport. And because how many weeks is it now until we get pitchers in and catchers reporting?
Can't be too many already, yeah.
It's already about that time of year where we start talking about this, right? Which is, it just finished last week.
Yep.
But the Blue Jays are an interesting squad, right? You have older players like Kendrick Morales. You have a guy like Russ Martin and Troy Tulowitzki, who maybe should have been named the coach anyway, since you're paying him $10 million or $20 million in the case of Tulo.
He's got to do something. You don't have to be able to walk for that job. So,
right? I mean, Tulo still might end up on the injured list if he was the coach.
For sure.
So, I mean, for me as a fan, this does nothing to get me excited about it. We know, I think most Jays fans know Vladdy's coming up next year, whether it's game one or game
20.
30 or whatever that number is. They have to, if they want to really save one extra year of paying him.
Right.
Bo Bichette's still a little whiles away.
I think so.
A couple of these other younger kids we're waiting for aren't here yet. So this hire makes... I mean, it's probably not a bad hire, but is it the hire maybe Jays fans wanted? No.
I don't even think, to be honest with you, man, I don't think this was a hire that the Jays wanted. I don't think they're unhappy with it, but they clearly went in. They wanted David Bell. He ended up in Cincinnati. Then they called Tampa looking to talk to Rocco Baldelli. He ends up in Minnesota. And now you have to call Tampa again and go, who else you got? You know, we talked to someone
who's
else.
Who's the next guy on the list?
Right. And he didn't apply for the job. They phoned him and he accepted right away, which makes you wonder, was it like, oh, shit, me? You want me? Like, I don't know. I'm okay. I think I like the fact that he's got some minor league experience, because you are going to have all these young guys coming up. And he is open-minded to some of the analytics stuff, right? Like the Rays were the first team this year that started regularly using the opener. I don't know if we're going to do that. I don't know if it's something that I want to do, but he's open to these sorts of things. I think, to be honest with you, this was a very unsexy hire that was made to be fired later, but for now is the type of guy that will do what Shapiro and Adkins want. And at this point, that's probably really all they care about.
Which just makes you think about, and I'm going to totally drop this guy's name too, but he's already in the Jays organization.
DeMarlo Hale? He was
the
bench coach
Thank
this
you.
Year. Yeah.
Yeah.
He has some experience.
Why wouldn't you just go to a guy like him who's already familiar with the team? This Adkins management group, you know, I don't think they've done anything that most Toronto fans have applauded.
Right.
They seem to have their own view in place and their own plan in place. You understand, you know, it's Toronto. We're not always going to get the best player, especially through free agency. But, I mean, they've struck out on getting small goals like, hey, let's be quicker and younger this year. Hey, let's get better left-handed hitters in this year.
Yeah.
And they really haven't delivered on any of these promises. And at some point, you know, the management group at Rogers is going to start to go, hey, remember that $1 billion renovation you wanted to do to Skydome? We can't do that if we only have 15,000, 18,000 people here every game.
Yeah.
And we can't do that if people aren't watching on TV, because we can't charge for advertising. So at some point, they're going to have to do something big.
I think they're counting on that being Vlad, where they don't have to spend any money and it just falls in their laps. I think that's all they're praying for at this time.
There are a lot of teams with a superstar.
Yep.
Who are still very bad at baseball.
Yep.
Because you need an entire roster of very good players to compete. And there's no way this team can even remotely think about competing with the Boston Red Sox. That is one of the best baseball teams constructed,
yeah,
period.
I got to tell you, though,
what era.
They've traded away their entire minor league system. They're going to be good for a couple of years here while we're bad. I'm far more worried about the Yankees, who have all the money in the world and have a very good farm system. And to be honest with you, the Rays are better than us right now, and all their pieces are young. Now, when the time comes that we're ready to contend, we will have more money to spend than Tampa will. But when we start talking 3-4 years from now, and I think the Jays will start to turn it around before then, but they won't be ready to contend again by that at the earliest. But I think it's more New York and Tampa. I think Boston will have started to fall off by then. But, you know, we'll see.
The only thing I would always say about, you know, the Red Sox and the Yankees, they seem to have a way to turn their franchises around quickly.
Yes.
Boston won in the last 5 years. They've won, finished last, and won again.
Yep. It's true, man.
And that's just they seem to be really good at drafting, even through different regimes, and so have the Yankees. There was a point where we all thought the Yankees were going to be very bad for a number of years, and they were bad for about a year and a half.
That's right. You go buy some other people's prospects.
Yeah, right. And at that point, they actually got better than the Jays did quicker.
Yes.
We just managed to have a better team, I think, towards the end of those seasons.
Yeah.
That we're able to push through those guys. It's going to be interesting to see how this team shapes up over the next couple of years. It's going to be tough because it's going to be a really dark another 2 years, I think.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really hard. You're going to be going to the game to see Vladdy. You're not going to be going to see anybody else. I can't think of one pitcher right now outside of Stroman that I would be excited to go see.
Give me Sanchez. Find a way to get that fucking guy healthy, man. Jesus.
There's just nothing exciting about saying, hey, what are you doing Tuesday? Joe Biagini's pitching.
It's true, man. No, it's true.
Do you want to go buy $18 beers and on a Tuesday to watch Joe pitch? No.
No, I don't. I want to go see the Argos.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it's true, man. We're heading into some dark times. We'll move this along. I wanted to ask you, was it just this past weekend we got the Patriots and the Packers?
Last night, great game. Beautiful game.
Going into it.
I'm not biased at all.
No. Going into it, they were asking, Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, for those who don't know, I'm sure you do, of the Green Bay Packers, what he felt in terms of stacking himself up against Tom Brady, who's, of course, the reigning king, has been for a very long time. But Aaron Rodgers, very good quarterback himself, signed a huge contract in the last offseason here. You know, how do you feel? You stack up against him, best in the world, all this kind of stuff. And he said, there's no contest. One guy's got the rings. I don't. So I think a lot of people wanted to take that as a bit of a shot at his own organization. It may have been. My question is, for a long time, Brady and Manning was kind of a well-known rivalry. Their teams faced each other in the playoffs. Brady won the rivalry. He had substantially more rings, but there was kind of a thing there where you wanted to see those games. Is Rodgers the closest that there would be to that right now? When I think of the Patriots and Brady now, I still think it's the same old Patriots and the same old Tom Brady, but I can't think of one thing where it's like every time these two quarterbacks meet, everyone wants to see it, right? There are other good quarterbacks in the league and you are interested in those matchups, but is there a guy now that it's like Brady versus so-and-so gets everybody all hyped up?
Well, the sad thing from a fan perspective is the other best quarterbacks are mostly in the NFC.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the sad part about it.
Really limits
The beauty of Peyton versus Tom and Patriots versus the Colts, and even when he went to Denver,
yep,
was that they were in the same conference. It was very easy for the NFL to line them up every time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
As you know, I mean, like the NFL changes their scheduling every year. For those of the listeners who don't know, so you play your own conference twice or your own division twice, and then you kind of negotiate the schedule to make sure they got the primetime games.
Sure, yeah.
Just looking down the list, the Chiefs have been obviously a rival for the past couple of years,
mm-hmm,
for the Patriots. Nothing to do with their quarterback situation until this year. They've got this great new young quarterback that everybody's just in love with. And you got Big Ben in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And every year it seems to be Patriots and Pittsburgh,
right,
going into the playoffs. But for whatever reason, and also, you know, we've just been blessed in the last 15 years with maybe the greatest number of great quarterbacks in the NFL for us as fans to watch.
For sure, man. It's been unreal for like 15 years.
But that being said, Ben Roethlisberger, born at the wrong time, because he might be the worst out of the best.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's not that he doesn't put up statistics. He just doesn't put up statistics like Peyton, like Tom Brady, like Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
I think there's something in the media and in fans that would love it to be Aaron Rodgers because it's Green Bay and Green Bay's title town.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's the Brett Favre years and going back to, I mean, before the Super Bowl was a thing, I think Green Bay won something stupid like 5 titles in 7 years. So they're a historic team. Same thing with Pittsburgh, right? There's, yep, a very historic narrative to tell,
sure,
about that story.
Yes. Yeah.
I actually think the most, and again, we don't get this a lot, and unfortunately, but the closest player to Tom Brady is actually Drew Brees.
I wonder if that might be the guy, right? And like you say, you just don't see them face off often enough to build it as a rivalry. In,
mm-hmm,
terms of, do you want to see best on best? That's probably it. But in terms of, mm-hmm, a rivalry, there's nothing there. There's not enough games, right, to build that up.
That's it. And I know Aaron Rodgers actually has more individual awards than Drew Brees.
Yeah.
But just, I pulled this up earlier and just saved this on my tab here. Aaron Rodgers really started in 2008 once Brett Favre had moved on.
Yep.
New Orleans. So Drew Brees came into the league with the Chargers and then moved on to New Orleans. And one of the Chargers' stupidest moves, I think, ever. And that's a lengthy list, right? I mean, now, grant you, they picked another great starting quarterback, but it was kind of like when the Islanders traded Luongo to pick DiPietro, right? You're trading a number one to draft another number one.
Yeah.
That's just 2 years younger, you know?
What are you doing, man? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But this, I found this statistic interesting. So Brees has played a couple, I think it's 2 more years in in New Orleans than Rodgers has played as a starter. But the numbers aren't even close, right, even within those years. I mean, even yards thrown, Breeze has thrown for over 60,000 yards, and Aaron Rodgers is at a paltry 41,000, which most people would sell their entire family to
have. No doubt.
Touchdowns, 426 to, where's the number, 328. You know?
Yeah.
And that's in 2 years difference. So, and Drew Breeze also has statistics previous to that playing with the Chargers. So, if you want to think of an individual guy who could, you know, stack up on NFL Madden, Drew Brees is that guy. And he's been doing it for so long now, 18 years. Remarkable. The sad thing is we just haven't seen it over and over because they're on opposite ends of the conferences.
Right.
Though maybe, I mean, this might be a year where they both seem to be on the second best team in their conference. So there's a chance that we could all get this
as
our final.
That would be awesome. So last thing before we get out of here then, because this has been a little bit crazy to me as we're now well into the Raptors season. Team still rolling pretty well. They've sat Kawhi a couple of times to, I guess, protect against previous injuries and whatnot. I think everybody's probably fine with that. But what I've started to see over the course of the last weekend is maybe premature, maybe not, talk as Kyle Lowry as a potential top five MVP guy. I think if there was going to be any talk this year of a potential MVP coming out of Toronto, anyone would have guessed Kawhi. Are you seeing enough there, or is this just, you know, kind of fan excitement this early on that you kind of go, yeah, you know, our guy?
This is where Toronto fans in basketball are as bad as the Toronto fans in hockey.
Sure.
And I say this with a grain of salt because I was always a Kyle Lowry guy over DeRozan guy. He's the one jersey I have in the city. He was always my guy.
Yeah.
He is having an unbelievable season this year. A lot of the comparisons, you sent it to me as well as our friend Holly had sent me statistics and people pointing out that he's having as good of a season as Steve Nash ever had.
Yes, I saw that as well too. It's been wild, the comparisons, man.
I mean, and it's true. Over 10 games, he's having as good of a season as Steve Nash had for about four seasons in a row.
Right.
You know, so over 300 games, he's been as good over 10.
I can feel Maddie dumping ice on this party or on this fire already.
Just a bit, right? And I don't want to cut him off by the knees because he's having his best season ever. You know, he's matching Steve Nash in his best seasons with over 11 assists a game. He just set the record for most consecutive 10-plus assist games at 8 in a row for the Raptors, tying Damon Stoudemire going way back.
Yeah.
Mighty Mouse. he's shooting about the same from 3, the number of threes anyways. Now, when Steve Nash was MVP, shooting 2 to 4 three balls a game was unheard of.
Right.
Contextually, now that's normal.
Yeah, the league has changed for sure.
Right. Every day you have guys going off for 5+. If you're in Golden State, you have guys going off for 10 to 12 every once in a while.
Right.
Like it's a bloody video game. There's still some things. I mean, Steve Nash in his best years was shooting over 50%. Kyle's, you know, mid 40s. So not bad. I mean, if he did this for an entire season, you could say, okay, he had as good of a season as Steve Nash.
Right.
After 10 games, we need to just relax a little bit. And enjoy the fact that we actually have played some bad teams as well.
For sure.
To pad your stats. Unfortunately, nobody in the Raptors right now is even close to becoming an MVP.
Well, let me ask you this then. After 10 games, just to frame it a little differently, has he been the Raptors MVP? Or has that still been Kawhi?
He's definitely been the Raptors MVP.
Okay.
He's doing so much more on the court right now. And that's probably because you have Kawhi. You don't have to do as much. He doesn't have to support DeRozan on defense anymore.
Yeah.
He can just kind of worry about his own guy. You've got some other guys like Spicy P who are really coming up and helping out. That being said, he's being forced to play a lot right now, more than I would probably like to see out of him. He's up around, I'm just looking up, almost around 35 minutes a game right now.
Well, we've seen him, right, back issues in the past. How bad do you want to beat him up this early on, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit to do with the fact that our two backup point guards, Fred VanVleet and DeLon Wright, have been away.
Yeah.
And have been missing quite significant time for their own injuries. Which brings me to the next point that I want to make about Kawhi being sat out. You mentioned that most people are understanding. Unfortunately, if you just click on any of the clickbait on Twitter, you'll see that that's not the case.
People are not understanding this. All right. Well, there's
people are not understanding this.
There's dummies in any corner of the world.
God.
And on Twitter, Ottawa, though, man, right? Just yeah.
Yeah, Payne. You know, without nerding out about Payne science too much, it's a little more complex than having an injury, and has to do with the inputs and outputs in your body and perception and psychology on it. And you've got a guy who, number of doctors on his former team didn't listen to him,
right?
And he kept complaining about pain, and his own doctors were siding on his side, and that's what led to this whole problem.
Yeah.
So there's no world in which the Raptors are going to force this guy back to play until he's ready. They're definitely not going to force him back in game 9 and 10 of the season.
Right.
So his most recent injury actually has nothing to do with the knee. He had a mild ankle sprain, or what they're calling a sore ankle right now. There's been no kind of formal diagnosis on it. But they are not going to force this guy out in game number 11 against Sacramento.
Right.
In Sacramento, there's just zero point to it.
Yeah.
This team knows that they're looking forward to the end of the season. They're not going to push this team to the brink to win 60 games again, because they know it doesn't matter if they come first or second or third. This is about getting to April, and there's no other goal at this point for this Raptor team. And fans have to understand that that's now the goal. You know, we're in a league where the best player, maybe the second best player ever, LeBron James, consistently takes a week off every once in a while,
yep,
to rest his body.
Yep.
Last year, I think, was the first time he hit 80 games in, God knows, maybe a decade or more.
Well, so is this a symptom of dumb, and I include myself in this, obviously, but dumb hockey Toronto, where it's the code, and you play as hard as you can, you go out every night, even if you've got a broken neck and you whatever. Whereas more and more in not just basketball, but it's becoming more and more common there, but in lots of sports, it makes way more sense to take a night off when you need it, right? And just, but we're not used to that, or we're not a developed enough basketball culture for that yet to understand that maybe that's the better approach.
I think that's exactly what it is. It's the, we're just inundated with the hockey culture, yeah, of you play hurt.
Yeah.
You're Joe Thornton, you play in the playoffs with broken ribs.
And by May, you know, there's only 30% of that guy left giving you anything, and you probably could have given him a week off in February and he'd be fine. Right?
And this is all it really comes down to, right? We push these guys. The teams treat players like cattle.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really no nice way to say it. And that's anytime there's a player strike, I'm always firmly on the player side.
Yeah.
Because these guys, for the most part, have short life spans. Yes, they make a couple million dollars here and there, but they're making it over a very short period of time.
Right.
And if you got to play in Canada for most of your life, you're going to spend most of it on taxes as well, let alone your team and your everybody you employ through you as well.
For sure.
These guys have to take care of their bodies. And like you brought up about Kyle Lowry and his back pain, he never plays a full season. Last year, he played 78 games. Before that, it was 60, 77, 70, 79, 68. These guys get hurt. They are, at least in hockey, I mean, the hits are harder. Obviously, nobody's going to deny that. And
yep,
the chance for concussions way higher. But hockey players are sliding around in shoulder pads and that's elbow right pads, yeah, and knee right pads. The way these guys fall in the NBA on hardwood with another guy who weighs 220 pounds on you is not pleasant. No. You know, there's no way to make that sound nice.
No.
You're going in at full speed. You're falling to the ground. And some other big dude is running into you in the middle of the air.
Yeah,
they're going to take some bumps and bruises. They do not need to be playing an 82-game season either. And with a guy who – the other difference is in hockey, to draw it back to our initial talk about quarterbacks, right?
Yep.
In the NBA, you're so reliant on your star.
Oh, yeah.
There is no way this team, even at 8-1 or 9-1, whatever we're at right now for the Raptors, can go into the playoffs – and go against a team we just demolished in Philadelphia,
mm-hmm,
without Kawhi or without Kyle.
Right.
You need those guys on the floor all the time, just like the Leafs need John Tavares on the ice. It's simple math, but it's extrapolated in basketball because these guys are going to be playing 40 minutes a night in the playoffs. And the fans just need to take a step back and relax. But I do think it's really the code, right? And what we're used to.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get this in soccer in Europe either.
No.
Where they're used to the fact that guys need time off, right? You can't be playing 90-minute games twice a week.
And then you got Champions League and you got, you know, international and you got your club team, right? Like, yeah, you have to take nights off or you just won't make it.
Plus, so they're practicing every night too, right?
Yeah,
they're flying in luxury planes and they got their own, you know, their private planes, and that's great. But these guys, if they're finishing a game at 11 o'clock at night, they're not in the air until 1.
Mm-hmm.
And they're flying to the next city. It's not like their sleep and their recovery is as amazing as we think it is. It's way better than it used to be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years ago. But the reality is they're still putting way too much stress on their body.
And while they're not on, you know, WestJet or Air Canada Jazz or something, like you said, it's a luxurious plane. You're still a 7-foot monster having to sit down on a plane for however long, however many nights a year, right? It's a bit of a grind for sure. So take a hit in November to make it worth your while in May.
And that's all this comes down to. And again, just draw it into the point that we talked about at the beginning of the season with the Raptors. This Raptor team cannot be about the regular season anymore.
Right.
We've won the regular season. We've been, you know, that's great. We Eastern regular season champs. If we were Nashville, we'd hang a banner like that up, I'm sure.
No doubt.
But, you know, this team, and this might be the last incarnation of the Raptors for the next couple years. So trust me, they're putting all their eggs in one basket, and that's for the playoffs. I wouldn't even be surprised if this team came into the playoffs in third place. I don't even think they'd be batting an eyelid at this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? We've been putting all our eggs in the Matty Lang basket lately, and he's grinding through as the cold that never ends continues to grip his throat. We appreciate it. Matty's got hockey, so we're going to wind this one down because he's going to grind through that too. He is part of the hockey culture. He knows what's up.
I am the true definition of the grinder in the league, let me tell you.
We're going to wind this one down. If you want, you can give us a follow on Twitter at TallCaneAudio, Facebook.com/TallCaneAudio, or at TallCaneAudio on Instagram. If you didn't catch it last week, had a great show with Sean McKindo, better known to most of you as Down Goes Brown. That was TallCan Sports 278. We talked about his new book, about him going head-to-head with Curtis Joseph, an awesome story about the Buffalo Sabres and how they fucked with the draft one year. Highly recommend you check that show out as well.
That was a great story, by the way.
Awesome. He was.
I had never heard that one before.
Me neither.
That was a good laugh.
For sure. So you can check that out. It's TallCan Sports 278 wherever you get your podcasts, or at TallCanAudio.com. There's also a link to the book there at TallCanAudio.com in the show notes. So check that out if you're into such things. Matty Lang, appreciate your time as always.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
And we will wind this one down, and we'll catch y'all on the next one.
We're not going to be fucking sunk this year! Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCan Audio on your favorite podcast app.